This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the way we saw Hamas is treating the prisoners, the Israelis, it is not about Hamas. This is how Islam treats prisoners. I don't want to go into the details of the books of jurisprudence to talk about what they have mentioned about prisoners of wars and their rights in Islam. They said that they have to be fed the same food, you have to provide them with health care, even they should get married, etc., etc. In our history, there are so many examples of how prisoners of war were treated. If I pick just a very simple example, read about Salah ad-Din and how he treated the prisoners of war during his time. He freed so many of them. He let women to join their husbands. In fact, in many cases, he freed so many prisoners of war just to join their wives and their children. And they said that he never put women in jail. Of course, his situation is a little bit different from our situation, but what I want to mention is that this is Islam. This is how Islam treats people in general and prisoners of war in particular. And we all know that the prisoners of war in any country, although there is the Geneva Convention regarding how to treat prisoners of war, but none of this is applied. Show me where prisoners of war, whether in America, in Japan, in the First World War, in the Second World War, were treated like what we have seen the Israeli prisoners have been treated. And again, it is not about Hamas. This is how Islam treats them. This is one thing. Someone told me, yeah, this is Hamas or the Palestinians are doing it for propaganda. I said, okay, if they are doing it for propaganda, why don't the occupation does that for propaganda? Why don't the Israelis do the same thing with the Palestinian prisoners for propaganda? We have seen how they were treated, the Palestinian prisoners. You cannot imagine how they are treated. Just Google it, and I'm sure on YouTube there are so many examples of Palestinians who were imprisoned by the Israelis. Even illegally, they were imprisoned by the Israelis and how they were treated in their jails. So this is the second point. Also, brothers and sisters, remember the pictures that we used to hear about Daesh and how they were treating the prisoners of war. Why Daesh didn't do that for propaganda? And we have seen the clear difference between Hamas and Daesh or ISIS. And that's why now so many people are asking, you know, even non-Muslims, they say, why Hamas is proscribed as a terrorist organization? What happened in 7th of October, most of it were lies. The news now are coming that Hamas didn't do all of this. Some people say that this is their right to defend themselves, as Israelis have the right to defend themselves. Hamas and the Palestinians and the Palestinian resistance have the right to defend itself. So many people are asking these questions. And then they said, if they were really a terrorist organization, they wouldn't treat the prisoners of war like this, or the hostages, call them whatever you want to call them. They wouldn't treat them like this. This leads me to the fourth point, which is now more people started to lose trust, you know, in the global system, in the global justice, in their countries. They started to question the rule of law in their own countries, in America, in Britain, in EU, and they were asking, what is the basis for proscribing Hamas as a terrorist organization? I would like to conclude this point by mentioning that the whole global system is shocked. And people are looking for an alternative. They see that the UN system, United Nations, is not fair and is not capable of stopping aggression, massacres, ethnic cleansing, is unable to do that. They see so many UN even organizations are unable to function. They have seen the Red Cross unable to provide even the hospitals in Gaza with the basic necessities. So they say, what kind of UN organizations are this? So many people now are questioning these organizations. So there is a global shock here. Let alone, of course, my dear brothers and sisters, that many people are starting to questioning their values. And they start to believe in the Islamic values, which, as I said a number of times, it is a very good opportunity for us as Muslims to give da'wah and to clarify our values. But the point is, the world after this crisis will not be like the world before that crisis. Maybe there will not be an immediate change, but in the memory of the youngsters who have witnessed this injustice and witnessed the failure of these United Nation organizations in providing justice, basic needs for the people in Gaza, and they definitely will feel that this will continue for other oppressed people. So that will remain in their memory. That will lead to major global changes, and we don't know what will happen in the future. I feel that there is a polarization now between the governments, only the governments, and the masses. And governments cannot run, especially Western governments, they cannot function, they cannot continue functioning like that. The masses, one time, they will be fed up with their governments, with their systems, or with the global system, and they will say, enough is enough. But they might not have an alternative. There will be some global changes, and Allah Jalla wa'ala knows where those changes or what will happen because of those changes. Anyway, these are just the quick comments and quick thoughts about the what we have seen in the last few days.